McDonald. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. It's fine. Today, we are broadcasting through Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish unceded ancestral territories. Today, we listened to an episode recorded a couple weeks back when I took the journey from Strathcona Park back to the mainland to my hometown of Whistler. I tracked down two local athletes, Wei Tianho and Marcus Gauguin, to chat about their blooming careers as professional athletes. Over the course of this episode, we delve into their seasons and what it takes to be dual sport athletes. So tune in and stay tuned in.
So Wei Tianho, where are you right now?
I'm just on Hornby.
Oh, sweet.
This time I'm just here for like 6 days, but I've been coming since I was a baby. So like Normally it depends like we'd spend normally like a week.
Sweet.
Right, cool. Here we go, Wei. Start us off.
Sure, I guess I'll start. my name is Wei Tianho. I'm 19 years old. I currently live in Whistler, BC, and I compete in freeride skiing during the winter and enduro mountain bike racing in the summer.
That was awesome, Wei Tian.
My name is Marcus Gauguin. Live in Whistler, BC. I'm 19 years old, and I am also a freeride skier, and I attempt to do some mountain biking in the summer as well.
Awesome. All right. See you. So, we're in mountain biking season right now. When did Crankworx end? A few weeks ago?
Yeah, beginning of August or end of July.
Yeah.
Awesome. And Wei Tian, you had a big win. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I won the Enduro National Championships, which is pretty cool. It was the last race of Crankworx, so it was nice to finish it off like that. Yeah, it's something that I've always wanted to do is kind of being able to like wear the sleeve and compete with that around the world with the national sleeve. So that'll be super cool. It was a good race. It was cool to have like a serious, since we don't have a World Cup in Canada or North America this year, it was cool to have like a decently sized or professional race in Canada, and then it was in Whistler, so that was super cool having all friends and family around.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and like the conditions were amazing, so yeah, it's a good time.
That's awesome. And for those listeners who may not know much about competitive mountain biking, what do you mean by the sleeve and riding with the sleeve?
Yeah, sorry.
No.
Yeah, so in mountain biking, they have a national championships race for both enduro, downhill, and cross country. And if you win national championships, you get the Canadian jersey. And then for the year, the full year up until that race again, you get to wear the national sleeve, so the Canadian flag on your arm.
Cool.
So whatever jersey that you wear during your season, they either sew or whoever the company you're riding for, they will print it on to your jersey. So it's kind of like a cool thing to represent Canada in that way.
Totally. Yeah, congratulations. You're doing us proud. Marcus, did you ride for any of the Crankworx races?
Yeah, I did the 1199 downhill race, which is super fun. It's pretty cool being on a track that was made for legendary mountain biker Stevie Smith. So that was an honor to be able to race in that race. It's a super gnarly track and a ton of fun. And that was probably one of my better results from the year.
Great.
First year in elite, so it's been tricky out there at the World Cups and such, but I'm just slowly trying to get back to being comfortable on the bike, and yeah, it was fun. And then I went and did the enduro with Wei Tian.
Nice.
Took the big W there, and I ended up fourth in that one. A crash, but even if I hadn't have crashed, I wouldn't have been close to Wei Tian because he was just on fire.
So, I was curious. Do you think if I asked you guys to try and recount, let's say, Wei Tian, if you go back to that enduro race and from the start gate, kind of walk listeners through the whole race until you got to the bottom.
Since it's an enduro, there's like multiple stages, but I'll try to like summarize it to the best I can.
Sweet.
Okay, let me just think. So we roll out, and this enduro was 5 stages. I always find the first liaison, whatever, an hour-ish on average to the first stage. This one was about an hour. So pedaling up to the first stage, I always find like I'm the most nervous. It's always kind of tense. Not many people are like, everyone, the whole like energy is kind of tense. People aren't talking too much. Going up to the first stage, I always find I'm the most nervous too, just because, I don't know, like, you haven't gotten into the groove of things, you're cold, you haven't started yet, so, like, then dropping into the first stage, you kind of get into the flow of things, you kind of, I don't know, remind yourself you can still race, and then after that first stage, you kind of, like, the whole energy kind of loosens up, I find, like, people start chatting about how that last stage went, everyone starts being a little more calm, and you started to get in the flow of things. And then it was lucky, like, I don't know, our conditions were really good, so the energy was pretty positive, like, everyone was pretty hyped on the stages. We had a great course, and the conditions were, I don't know, probably the best I've ridden these trails in. Coming into the last stage, I was pretty nervous just because I had a bit of a lead, but this one was pretty long, and, like, you can still throw it all away. So my game plan was just, I just kind of like wanted to focus throughout the whole day. I was just trying to focus, chip away at each stage at a time, not focus on like the whole outcome. Just focus on each stage at a time, just riding it how I know I can ride. Like, I know these trails. So that definitely helped me. And then coming to the last stage, yeah, I just wanted to like stay smooth. I knew I had a bit of a gap, so I didn't need to like push insanely hard, but just needed to ride consistently. And then just, I knew if I could just ride consistently on the downhills, hit lines is not too bad, and then just pedal hard on the flats, that I'd be happy with that. So yeah, I just tried to ride smooth, buried myself on the pedals, and had a couple loose moments because it was getting a bit dry. And then once I crossed the finish line and I could hear the voice, I was pretty relieved. That feeling quite amazing, to be honest, because I've had it where it's the opposite. You crash and you knew you threw it all away, so. Yeah.
Holy.
How'd I do? Is that all right?
Yeah, that was great. Wow, I was there. Wow. Yeah. It must have been like a whole nother level, that being not only the end of all the stages, but the end of Crankworks.
Yeah.
Like that second crossing the finish line. Yeah. Do you guys enjoy like the hype around Crankworks, or do you feel like you'd rather just do one race?
I enjoy the hype around Crankworks for sure. It makes it more of like an event. Like, it's not like just one thing and done. Like, you have more things to look forward throughout the week.
Totally,
which is super cool. Whether you're competing or not, you're always able to do something, which I like a lot.
Yeah. Do you ever get thrown off by fans on the track?
Actually, in my 11:99 run, that was probably the most fans I've heard in my race run. Maybe that's because I wasn't focused, but I definitely heard them, and I tried to go faster, and I got super sketchy for the rest of my run. So, right. But it's fun.
Yeah,
it's cool seeing all those fans on track with totally. Chainsaws and stuff.
Yeah, legendary track indeed.
It's cool to have like Crankworks, like a bit of a change from like your normal World Cups, which are a big build-up up to one mm-hmm. race, whereas Crankworks is like the whole week something's going on. And we had it, our enduro was like the last race, so it was kind of like you had to stay focused on that one while all these other things are going on, so it's a bit tricky. But I like all the hype, and it's kind of like a whole week of stuff going on, and like people from all around are in Whistler, so it's a bit of a change, but it's nice. I like it.
Totally. That's great. Yeah, I feel like there's probably a spectrum of athletes who prefer different types of crowds. Maybe some prefer more quiet and focused crowds, and some probably live from the hype. But I'm sure you guys all have kind of inner dialogue going on as well, right?
During the race?
Yeah. Do you just go blank, or is it like, okay, you gotta push to the next corner?
I feel like in downhill, when I race downhill, sometimes I just blank out just because it's like pretty much a short, just sprint mm-hmm. all out. So you're kind of just like, and there's not much chill time to like, I don't know. You're always just, it's always like steep and gnarly. You're kind of just like fully locked in. Whereas in Duro, the stages are a bit longer. There might be like some chill time, or not chill time, but like where the trail is like a little bit smoother. Maybe you're on a pedal section, you have a bit more time to like think to yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit more of about consistency. So kind of like different mindsets for different things.
Yeah, it's pretty similar for me as well. Because yeah, in the downhill race, you just practice on it so much that when it actually comes down to racing, it's like you're just in the zone and you don't really have to think about anything else or even like think about where you're going necessarily, because you're just locked in and you've done it so many times that it's just like second nature to just go down and, you know, all you're thinking about is just trying to go as fast as you can, really.
Mm-hmm. This is Wei Tian's song selection. It's called Po Man's Dream, in parentheses, his vice. This song is by Kendrick Lamar. It was released on the album Section .80 in 2011. Give it a listen.
I used to want to see the penitentiary way after elementary. Thought it was cool to look the judge in the face when he sentenced me. Since my uncles was institutionalized, my intuition had said I was suited for family size. My mom is stressing my daddy tired. I need me a weapon, these ride. Every minute, hour and second, ministers tried to save me. How I'm gonna listen when I don't even hear God? Heaven or hell, base it all on my instincts. My hands dirty, you worry about mud in your sink. You like to mistake a street for real. The same that killed with you, squeal with you. I deal with you like my son, stare at the sun. And you'll be looking in my eyes, homie. Stand for something or fall for anything. And you working with two left feet at the skating ring. But anyway, this for my uncles. 23 hours sending me pictures. I want you to know that I'm so determined to blow. That you hear the music I wrote, hope it gets you off death row. You came home to a pocket full of stones, a Metro PC phone, then you went back in. So when I touch the pen is in my view. I'ma get it right, just so you.
Smoke good, eat good, live good. 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 Smoke good, eat good, live good.
And I do this for the city. Got some Hennessy in my rear with me. Police, they gon' have to come and get me. If it feel good, tell you holly if you hit me.
You like the mistake of street, for real. The same that kill with you, squeal with you. I like to start it out from the bottom and build with you. Be on my last dollar and split the bill with you. I'm 23 with morals and plans to live in cordial. Not rich but wealthy, there's nothing you can tell me. My killings are not remorseful. The city got my back, for that I give them my torso. You think about it. And don't call me lyrical, cause really I'm just a that's evil and spiritual. I know some rappers using big words to make their similes curve. My simplest be more pivotal. I penetrate the hearts of good kids and criminals. Worry some individuals that live life critical. So won't you bear witness while I bear feet, so you can walk in my shoes and get to know me. But anyway, this for my pops. On his lunch break, eating in that parking lot. I wanna be heard, probably thought he worked my nerves. Really, he was stressing me, getting what I deserve. Somebody said my name on the radio. He ain't know I was ready for the world that minute. So the next time he roll up and drop grams in it, he probably be out of work, laid back while he
smoke good, eat good, live good. 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 Smoke good, eat good, live good.
And I do this for the city. Got some Hennessy in my real with me. Police, they gon' have to come and get me. If it feel good, tell you holly if you hit me.
Chad's definitely on the move, and now we can take it up to the cathedral, cause the ism is enormous, you know what I'm talking about? We out here rotating under the five P's, proper preparation prevents poor performance, you know what I'm talking about? Doing my thing as I'm rotating with my speakers thumping from the Windy City streets all the way out here to the streets of Compton. You know what I'm talking about? Chad's definitely on the move, and we gonna continue to hustle and grow and develop by far. As I rotate with my true player partner by the name of Kendrick Lamar. You know what I'm talking about? This is the ism, this is the vision. You know what I'm talking about? Gotta get up off your and get it, man. That's the only way your pocket's gonna expand. I tell you every day, you know what I'm talking about? Apply yourself to supply your wealth. Only limitations you ever have is those that you place upon yourself. Touch is definitely on the move. You know what I'm talking about? Exercise your ism. It don't depend on no one else. Cathedral. Church. Ism.
Are you tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca. Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
Okay, let's see here. Blend equal parts science and stories. Add a few shakes of music and soundscape, and wrap it all up in a big question. How can we see this more than human world in a new light and take part in shaping a healthy Anthropocene? Catch Future Ecologies every Sunday at 8 a.m. on CITR.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Outdoor Pursuits with yours truly, Jade Quinn McDonald. After the break here, we're getting back into our discussion, focusing more on skiing this time. Marcus is going to bring us through his lap down the Andorra track, where he has a few mishaps, but overall, it's an amazing run.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you're skiing big mountain, you're not exactly listening to the crowd, right? It must be a totally different experience. Even the noise that is around is drowned out by snow and stuff. Is that like, do either of you feel like when you're skiing you have
also kind of similar
more in your head?
Yeah. When I'm skiing, I'm definitely more in my head, because when this year with all these competitions, it's all visual inspection, so you really have to be thinking about where you're going and what you're doing, because you've actually never been on these courses before, or these venues, so it's pretty tricky to just be able to be locked in like you are on your bike, because you're riding it all the time, you've had lots of training, but when you go on to skiing these free ride venues, it's like super tricky to just be locked in. But it's like two different types of locked in. Like throughout my like free ride runs, I'll probably be like maybe in my head talking to myself a bit, making sure I'm in the right areas, just so I'm not launching blindly off into like rocks or something, because there's definitely a bit of consequence is that could happen if you're not like dialed in on where you're at on the venue.
Totally.
Yeah. I think like the visualization piece too comes in massively for skiing too.
Mm-hmm.
Like even though you haven't actually been on top of those cliffs, like kind of like tricking your mind into like pretending that you have actually practiced, so that it kind of almost does come second nature sometimes when you actually are on the slope. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I blank out an accent, feel like it's almost muscle memory because I visualized it so much, like looked at it or pretend, like tricked my mind into looking at it from the POV.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes like that.
Yeah.
Which has been...
When I spoke to my cousin who snowboards quite a bit, mm-hmm. he was talking about that POV run. Do you is it like a VR kind of thing?
No.
Free running now.
No.
Just on
No, phone. We only get like we just get photos and drone shots.
Right.
And binoculars from the bottom, and that's it.
Do you guys spend any time looking at it on like Google Earth or satellite maps or anything? No.
Well, no, you're not really you can't really get in depth enough with Google Earth.
Yeah, totally.
But like same thing like when we film too, like you just have to get good at like because you look at it from the bottom, so like it's the opposite when you're skiing on it, so you have to like in your head you have to like picture it from the other way, so you have to get good at like reversing that in your mind. But yeah, it's basically just looking at it from the bottom, really, especially when you're filming. It's really just like, okay, you go to the bottom, you see something, take a couple photos, and you got to go to the top, and you can't see shit from the top. So like the first time, like it's pretty, like I've gotten lost a fair bit of times just because it looks so different when you're on top of it, like blind rollovers and stuff. So like landmarks are super important.
I was looking at the Freeride World Tour locations and I saw that you guys went to Baquera.
Yep.
Yeah. When I was on exchange in high school and I went to Baquera a fair few times that season. It's like pretty spectacular.
It's a huge mountain.
I really liked that
huge
resort. And that it's like connected. I was like, oh, because it's like Baquera Barret, right?
Yeah, for sure. That was a super cool experience being out there. There's like tons of chairlifts everywhere, and the mountain just spreads out like mm-hmm. forever, it seems like.
Yeah.
And lots of like different terrain than here in BC, like lots of like chutes and like mm-hmm. kind of like little mountaineering hike sort of things. And yeah, it's a super cool experience. When I was out there, the snow wasn't that amazing, but it's still super fun.
Yeah. Impressive hills.
For sure.
Did you guys have a favorite stop on the tour?
Well, I was just forerunning. I wasn't competing last year.
Gotcha.
So I just went to Kicking Horse in Andorra.
Mm-hmm. How'd you like Kicking Horse?
Kicking Horse was good. It was like sharky.
Yeah.
I mean, Marcus can speak on it, but like the snow quality looked good or was good, but it was sharky, hey?
Yeah, very sharky. I actually didn't hit any sharks, luckily, but definitely some other competitors had some nasty crashes because of rocks and mm-hmm. right below the surface of the snow and stuff. But yeah, that was all part of the competition that day. You mm-hmm. had to be aware of where rocks might be and where you want to go. So yeah, it was definitely a tricky another aspect that you need to think about when you're picking your lines.
Mm-hmm.
And also then there's like a slide midway through the competition. Oh, so a couple people got shafted because of that.
Yeah. How often are there avalanches on the course?
With actual athletes on course, it's not very often because usually they'll try to do a whole bunch of avalanche control. But
so.
With Kicking Horse, it's a bit special because they didn't really, they like, thought that the snowpack was super well, thought it was like gonna be fine, but they also didn't really want to do it, like they ski cutted and did all these safety measures, but they didn't want to bomb it because
if they
bombed it and it slid, it was such a shallow snowpack that would just be straight to ground and we wouldn't even have a competition anymore. So it was a bit of a risk, but mm-hmm. we all decided we're okay with it, and there did happen to be an avalanche, but no nothing too major, which is good.
Well, I'm glad to hear. Marcus, do you want to maybe do a similar, attempt a similar thing with maybe a, like, your favorite world tour line or most epic or whatever you'd like, or create the most imagery for you?
Your Andorra run, dude. My Andorra run, yeah, my Andorra one is definitely an exciting run. Coming from four running in Bakira Barret to getting the wild card for the Andorra stop was pretty nerve-wracking and super exciting.
So do you probably want to quickly explain what that means to our listeners?
So I was still in my junior year, technically. So I competed in Junior Worlds. I went out to Europe to compete in Junior Worlds. And with that, I got first place there, which helped my case. And I was able to do four run for the Freeride World Tour, which is just like beforehand, I'll just test the conditions and go on course and make sure it's safe for everyone. And then they saw me do that. And out of chance, one of the veteran freeriders, Abe Mar Navarro, actually retired there at his hometown, so they had an empty spot to fill, and they gave me the call and told me I was able to head over to Andorra from Bakira. So
incredible!
I got that opportunity, and so yeah, that was my first Freeride World Tour event. It was on the big screen, and I was definitely a bit nervous. So we got actually flown up there in the helicopter, which was super crazy, and that got my adrenaline rushing even before I even dropped in. So
no doubt.
Yeah, we waited up there for maybe 20 minutes, and then I got myself into the start gate, and I was definitely shifting back and forth, pretty nervous, but I was confident in my line and stuff, and I was able to stay focused. Like, I watched the broadcast back, and I'm shifting all over the place, and I look super nervous, but in my head, I felt actually pretty calm and collected, and I was just ready to go, and maybe a bit anxious to just ski my line. So, yeah, I was able to drop in. Actually, I did my first cliff, and then about second or third cliff, I tried a 360, and I, like, clipped these rocks and face-planted into the snow, unfortunately. Wasn't the way I wanted to do my first Freeride World Tour event and show the world. It wasn't what I wanted to show the world. So I just continued to do the rest of my run and did a couple tricks and landed the rest of it. And my goggles, like, fell down halfway, which is pretty exciting. And my last, like, big backflip, I had, like, my goggles over my neck. Yeah. And it was a funny experience for sure. Got through the corral and I wasn't really disappointed at all. I was just super happy with the rest of my run, and I was stoked to be out there. First Freeride World Tour event. It was a great time.
Yeah. Do you guys do any of your own kind of backcountry trips in your leisure time?
We didn't really this year.
No. We've done a couple in the past for sure. I did like a couple of like little overnight film things, but not too many this year.
Right.
Yeah, it was mostly just when we went filming.
Right. Sweet. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the training that you guys do. Is there like, would you say that there's more training involved in skiing or mountain biking? Like, let's talk first about gym training, so like dry land or cross training.
You want to go next?
Or am I going? Yeah, you go for it.
Okay. That's Liam, by the way.
What's that?
Sorry, are we recording right now?
Yep.
Oh, sorry.
No, all good. It livens it up a little bit.
I'd say there's definitely, like, strength training that goes into skiing, for sure. I'd say the program for biking is more strict. Like, the all-around program is more strict for biking in terms of, the general, like, people are more dialed in with their nutrition, their training regimen throughout the season, off season. It's more of like a strict program that they have to be dialed in because the margins are so thin now. Whereas on the tour and just skiing in general, people are definitely obviously very strong. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's more just like a bunch of strength training in the fall, and then in season, like, you can kind of keep your strength up with some maintenance gym, and then just the skiing. Mm-hmm. Keeps up your strength pretty well throughout the season. So I'd say, like, for biking, it's probably, you have to be more strict, which is kind of gets a bit difficult when during bike off season is ski season.
Yeah,
so, like,
totally.
Trying to balance your skiing while your bike training is a bit of a difficult thing, and just trying to play with that balance of, like, say you go out for a big ski day, you did a few laps, but, like, you're out the whole day, but you only did a few laps, like, you might be, like, tired, but you didn't really work your muscles too much, mm-hmm. or so it's, like, trying to find, like, should I go to the gym, or is it better to just maybe chill and go to the gym tomorrow, like, stuff like that, just trying to play with that balance.
Yeah.
It's a bit difficult, but, yeah, I'd say it's figuring it out, because it's just kind of hard when the fall is nice, you get a bit of time to, like, chill before ski season, but, like, ski season straight into bike season is kind of, they kind of overlap.
Yeah, that's rough, but, you know, it's for the love. Love of
the
sport.
For the love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, bike season's pretty much my off season. I do a little bit of training for biking in the spring, and then, or I did
just go for it.
Oh yeah, just as for me, biking has most time I can get on my bike is the best training for me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some extra gym and cardio training would do me well, but yeah, I mostly hit the gym for skiing mostly. But this last couple of months, I've been kind of cruising, so now I was able to get a bit of a break from the gym, and now I can try to hammer in the gym a bit more before ski season, just get a good base going.
Gotcha.
Song break.
I doubt this song will be new for many listeners, but if it is, get ready to get your world rocked. This is The Pursuit of Happiness by Kid Cudi, featuring MGMT and Ratatat. This is a dance, electronic, hip-hop, rap genre medley. Came out on the album Man on the Moon, released in 2009. This one comes from Marcus.
Crush a bit, little bit, roll it up, take a hit, feeling lit, feeling right, 2 a.m. summer night, I don't care, hand on the wheel, driving drunk, I'm doing my thing, rolling the mid beside and out, living my life, getting out dreams, people told me slow my roll, I'm screaming out that I'ma do just what I want, looking ahead, no turning back, if I fall, if I die, know I lived it to the fullest. If I die, know I lived in missing bullets.
I'm on the pursuit of happiness, and I know everything will shine. Ain't always gonna be gold. I'll be fine once I get it. I'll be good. I'm on the pursuit of happiness, and I know everything will shine. Ain't always.
You know about dreaming, dreaming. You don't really know about nothing, nothing. Tell me what you know about the night terrors every night. 5 a.m. cold sweats waking up to the sky. Tell me what you know about dreams, dreams. Tell me what you know about night terrors, nothing. You don't really care about the trials of tomorrow. Awake in the bed full of sorrow.
I'm on the pursuit of happiness.
just go. I'll be fine once I get it. I'll be good. Good.
Freaking Mona. We're back. We're here. My name is Peyton and I play the drums.
My name is Ben and I play bass.
I'm Nico, guitar.
I'm Dominic Wong. I'm the lead singer of Frank Mona.
And together, we're Frank Mona.
And you can find us anywhere you listen to music for cool alternative rock and indie music.
Check us out on Instagram, Facebook,
Twitter, Tidal, Snapchat.
And together, we're Bumble. Frank Mona.
Check us out on Tidal.
Yes.
Peace.
Welcome back to Outdoor Pursuits on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting through the Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, and Musqueam territories. Back chatting with Marcus and Weitian. We talk about training regimens and tips they have for any up-and-coming athletes.
So it's kind of sounding like maybe both of you favor one over the other. Do you guys feel that way?
Me, I definitely favor skiing over biking.
Yeah.
I enjoy biking for sure, but I'm more competitive in skiing.
I can't really decide.
That's okay. Do you ever find yourself like being more conservative in one sport to maybe preserve yourself for the next season?
Not really. No. That's a good question. No, I don't think so.
Do you guys, have trainers?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you?
I have a coach.
Your coach is right. Are they ever don't hurt yourself this bike season. We need your legs for the ski season.
No. It's more like during ski season, he kind of like puts stuff in my program, like skiing stuff that'll kind of like complement bike stuff.
Yeah.
Because he knows I can't just do straight bike training. So, like, say in my program, he'll put like do top to bottom laps of whatever this chair. Just nice. To try to, like, while I'm skiing, being able to complement a bit of biking.
Yeah.
Even though it's different muscles, but, like, just that strength endurance kind of stuff.
Yeah, totally. Do either of you ever feel like the training you're doing for one sport is actually, like, halting your progress or doing the opposite of maybe what you want to be strengthening for the other?
I'd say any training is good training, usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think, like, skiing and biking, like, they definitely work, like, similar muscles, mm-hmm. mostly.
Yeah.
Like, other than skiing, you don't have as much upper body going, but I wouldn't say skiing would halt your progress or in biking or vice versa.
Yeah. I just think sometimes it's not the most efficient way, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think similarly, yeah. Like, if you're doing long lap skiing, it's not gonna be negatively impacting your mm-hmm. progress in biking. Like, you're still, like, whether it's endurance or strength endurance, like, it's helping either way.
Cool. Yeah, and what does your off time look like? Like, when you were talking about that little bit of time in the fall, what do you guys get up to?
Gymming.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to, like, gymming for fun, not doing any cardio. Like, I enjoy the gym, just going with the friends and stuff and just doing, I don't know, just lifting.
Just PRs. Constantly.
Yeah, just trying, like, stuff like that, stuff for fun, and then, I don't know, giving your mind a little break from the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on that no cardio grind for a while now.
No, well, you've done intervals, bro.
Not for the last couple months.
Do you guys train together a lot?
Not really, actually.
Not that often. We're on, like, other sides of town, so mm-hmm. he goes to another gym and I go to the one in Creekside.
Gotcha.
So it's not, but sometimes I'll head over to Alpine and see him at the gym, but for a quick, like, arms day, you know, but
nice.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever hit legs together, actually.
Yeah, I don't think we have either.
Yeah.
So,
the casual.
Yeah, you guys, coming from Whistler, both of you graduating, what, 2022? Is that your grad year? Do you ever feel like you guys come as, like, a package deal? So, like, Weitan and Marcus.
A lot of people present us like that, that's for sure.
How does that make you guys feel?
I don't mind it. I mean, we pretty much have been doing all our sports together, like, for our whole lives. So, mm-hmm.
yeah,
I think it's pretty sick. Cool that we're able to continue to do these things together as we are, like, best friends. So,
yeah, good
to
incredible.
Show that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind it at all. I think it's pretty dope, too.
Cool. And how did you guys meet?
Ultimate Eights, no?
Yeah, when we were eight, we were in the same ski program, and there was a few of us that were, like, similar abilities, mm-hmm. like me, Marcus, and then Tristan, and this other kid from Vancouver. We were all, like, similar abilities, so we just kind of, like, sometimes we would even get our own coach for one day and kind of go off on our own thing because we were all similar abilities, and then... Marcus started coming to school maybe that year or the year after, something like that. And then,
One night I was at Weitan's house and my mom's like, oh, we're moving to Whistler. We're going to school tomorrow. And I was like, sick. And then I was, we all became super close homies with everyone in Whistler. So it was fun. And since we were skiing together from such a young age, I think that's why. We've improved so much over the years just because we're all pushing each other and mm-hmm. always trying to be the best. So.
Yeah, we've definitely been able to feed off each other.
That's great. Yeah. And do you guys have other mentors who surround you and make you guys better? Do you guys have, like, one mentor in mind that is above the rest?
Anyone in specific, but I'd definitely say, like, all the free ride coaches have definitely been some of my mentors and who have helped me improve over the years. And there's lots of people around Whistler feel like anybody in Whistler you can feed off of, and you can take little pieces of everyone and improve with those aspects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just, we're just lucky to live in Whistler and have so many people that are all like, it's pretty like an ambitious crowd that are all striving for something. So like being able to feed off that energy in Whistler, whether it's in skiing or biking, like just people around that are all like trying to work for something is motivating. So totally. It's just kind of, it's hard to like not go for something when you're around people that are all working towards something.
Yeah. And are you guys ever like, is this what you see yourselves doing for the next, let's say, 5 years, like pro sports?
I could definitely see myself doing it for the next 5 years. I would like to go to school at some point. Mm-hmm. So probably before that 5 year mark, I'll hopefully be in school.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see though. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely have ideas to do more with myself after though.
Oh yeah. any like you'd to, like to share?
No, not any specifics, but I'd like to be able to buy a nice house in Whistler at some mm-hmm. point, and I don't think a ski career could do that for me, so maybe I could. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
What about you, Weho?
I'm probably going to go to school next year, but yeah, I still want to compete, both of them, and for as long as I can, but try to do school on the side, at least chip away at it and mm-hmm. start. And then I don't take my time. I just want to start chipping away at it. And then, yeah, I don't know, see how long. I still love it, so, yeah. Okay. 5 years at least, for sure.
Awesome. Yeah, I know I was talking to a few people who used to be professional, and then they've moved on, and they kind of go right into the sports industry in, like, different respects. Like, some of them will coach. Some of them going to like the filmmaking industry. I know some people who did like bike exporting and importing now for bike shops. Do you guys think that would be of interest to you? Like something like that or something?
Yeah. I'm definitely interested in like the filming side, film production, editing, and all that sort of thing. So like, I also think in the bike and ski industry, a huge part of it is like connections and relationships. So like, with already being integrated and having your foot in the door with a bunch of companies, having connections with a bunch of people, it's like nice to be able to maybe like, I don't know, move to that sort of side of things after and just kind of always be integrated in this industry. So I think something along those lines, like filming and editing, definitely interests me. So
cool.
Yeah, it's nice to already be creating relationships like that.
Totally. Yeah. All about connections.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure where I would want to go into the industry, but I'd definitely like to stick around the industry because there's so many awesome and cool people,
mm-hmm.
and it's always a good time with these people. So, yeah, it's definitely something I want to continue to stay around for the rest of my life, but yeah, I'm not exactly sure how I'd like to do that, but we'll see.
Yeah, you got time. You got time to figure it out. If you guys had any advice for up-and-comers, whether it be for skiing or biking or whatever other competitive sport, maybe just general advice for how you guys progressed into this and how someone could maybe follow.
Just stay focused and make sure you're always able to have fun with what you're doing, and as long as you have a good group of homies that you're able to go do what you like to do, is you're going to go places for sure.
Nice.
Yeah. Figure out the good people around you.
Sweet. Yeah. I always say your vibe attracts your tribe, you know?
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you both for your time.
Thank you, Jade.
Yeah.
I hope this helped.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Thank you so much, Jade.
Yeah, I'll send you guys the link to this when it's posted.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jade.
Bye.
Good to talk to you again.
Students of UBC, join us. Join the SSN. A collaboration between the C4 Choral Composition Club and the Music Production Club.
With us, you can find someone with whom to collaborate, someone with whom to make music. All skill levels welcome. SSN@gmail.com. Reach out. Together, we can make music. Join us.
Every Friday at noon, CITR takes you on a journey through Thunderbird Radio Land. A journey of sound and song, of words and music, of the now and then, of the right here and the far away. It's the Eclectic Lunch, every Friday at 12 noon on Thunderbird Radio, 101.9 FM in beautiful Vancouver.
Sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't. But when it's on, it's on, it's on. Some throw it out the window, some hold on tight. But when it's gone, it's gone. Some people get lucky, some don't. And so it goes on and on, yeah. I think of you all the time. Do I ever cross your mind? Do you remember the times we had?
Do you remember
playing hide and seek and tag? The sunshine swinging on the swing higher, jumping in the neighbor's pool, wishing we didn't have to go back to school. Sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't. Some people get lucky, some just don't. I think of you all the time. Do I ever cross your mind? Do you remember the time we had?
Do you remember
playing hide and seek and tag? Sunday in the bar, speaking back out way after dark. Can we do it just one more time? I can see the light. Zaka, 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 zoom. Feel the room, baby, there's a doom. I'll make it gloom, uh-huh.
Thank you.
Strange time. Strange time.
Found an isolating sound.